Blog Talk Radio.
This is CMT Firestorm Radio Talk Show. This is our grand opening show. We have a live audience listening, and we have a lot of interesting people here on the phone. My name is Klaus O'Mathis. I'll be the moderator slash host slash participant of the show. We have three other panelists here. I would like you to introduce yourselves, starting with Texas. Introduce yourself, please.
My name is Jamal Garrett Price. Look forward to working with these guys. I went to college with every last one of them at Florida A&M University. I, by any means, am not an analyst, but I'll tell you what I know, and you'll probably believe it.
All right. Come on, Mike from Cali. Tell me about yourself.
My name is Mike Brewer. I'm coming to you from California, you know, the West Coast. I'm here to add a fresh perspective to this panel. Tell these guys, you know, what's right from wrong, because some of them have, you know, the wrong ideas in their mind, you know, and keep things on the up and up.
All right. Give me Mike Shytown. Tell me what's up.
What's going on, Clydesdale? My main man, Tex and Cali Mike. Yeah, it's Michael A. Martin. You know, I bring, you know, my flavor and style. You know, it's one me, you know, to the panel, you know. My expertise on it, you know, call it how it is, and I may have my own opinion to it, may not be agreed on, but hey, that's what makes sports, you know, talk shows so good. It's diverse, and everybody has their own opinion.
All right, definitely. It's going to be today. Our objective here for the CMT Firestorm, we're going to be talking every Wednesday here, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And our objective here is we're going to have raw, objective opinions on major and college pro football, okay? It's unedited, uncensored. There won't be any profanity, but we're going to lay it all on the line here for major college and professional football. Now, there's been a lot of stuff going on in college football since the past season's ended, okay? One of the major things is Penn State. They had a four-year NCAA sanctions put against them, and I want to know, what is your opinion, starting with you, Jamal, what is your opinion on what transpired at Penn State? Is the suspensions worthy, or was it too harsh?
I think it was right. You can make a case that it needed to be a little bit more harsh than what it was. I think it was along the lines of what it should have been when you're covering up anything. Especially when it has to do with something going on in the football program, no matter if it's a recruiting violation or anything, it is beneficial to that program because they are still making money. Penn State bought in $50 to $60 million a year while covering up what was going on with Sandusky and these kids that they had around. So I think the penalties were justified. You can't, you know, your program is benefiting with all the money that it makes while everything goes covered up.
Interesting. So anybody has any different opinion on that? I mean, a lot of people feel as if, you know, what went on with Sandusky, you know, him molesting the boys or whatnot, that had nothing to do with performance on the field, and the NCAA has to only do with performance on the field, competitive advantage on the field. What does, you know, the defensive coordinator molesting little boys have anything to do with competitive advantage on the field? I want to hear what your feedback is from Mike Kelly or Mike Shytown.
Well, you know, I was talking to a guy earlier this week, and you know, I told him this, you know, same thing. It's like basically none of the things that they, you know, give people sanctions for have anything to do on the field. None of these guys are juicing. You know, they're not, you know, bribing referees or anything like that. They're upset, you know, it's lack of institutional control. It's the same thing as if, you know, a kid gets money from a booster and the school know about it and didn't do anything to, you know, look at what happened with Reggie Bush. You know, his family took a house. You know, they found out one of the assistant coaches knew about it and, you know, gave USC 3 years probation. And this, you know, like I said, this is from a program in Penn State that has had, you know, historically one of the cleanest records in college football. And now with this information coming out, you know, who knows what else they've been, you know, covering up.
Interesting, interesting. I mean, I understand, but we can only go by what we know, Mike. So, I mean, like, with the Reggie Bush situation, I mean, Reggie Bush, clearly, if he was taking benefits, you know, I mean, he was getting a competitive advantage on the field. I mean, clearly, you know, I mean, he was playing good. He was at USC. He was getting money, you know. So that gave him extra incentive to go to USC. You know, with the Penn State situation, I mean, even though the defensive coordinator was molesting little boys, that really had nothing to do with players coming to Penn State to play football.
Well, see, the allegations, the recent allegations of, you know, Reggie Bush and the recent allegations from Miami, these were players that already committed to the school. You know, Reggie Bush had already been to Penn State. These are sports agents and guys that, you know, want these guys to sign with them, you know, to get these NFL contract money. They're not, you know, these aren't boosters. Like I said, these isn't even getting into the boosters. And I'm almost certain, you know, even though it hasn't come to light, every school has boosters to give these guys something. You know, it's not, that's, you know, to me, anybody who thinks any differently is naive. That's part of college football. You know, these guys, you know, all these guys are getting a little bit something extra. But, you know, it's the outside stuff, especially, you know, with the Miami, you know, allegations. All those guys were already enrolled in school, you know, and they, you know, none of them, you know, was, you know, encouraged to come to school in any, you know, any shape or form. They were, you know, already students.
Well, Mike Schottman, you got any points on that?
I mean, Mike made some good points on that, but I get what you're saying too, Clausel, on that too, where the Sadusky thing, you know, that was, you know, outside the field, but I mean, hey, that was a bizarre thing. I mean, we all seen the news. It was one of those stories that's bizarre, you know, but I mean, some people thought they was going to get the death penalty, you know, which in a way you could say they did get the death penalty in a way because, you know, they on probation, you know, for maybe losing scholarships for the next 4 years. So that's a whole class, you know. That might take, definitely going to take some time for them to get back going, reduce scholarships. So it's one of those stories, man. I mean, hopefully, you know, something like that ain't going to ever happen again. But it's just all these facts coming out and information, and I know you all heard about, you know, some people from the board, I think from Penn State, they're filing suits against that, you know, for them being on probation and try to, you know, get the probation down some, at least, or get it off. But good luck on that. We'll see what happens on that, though, you know, but it's just
one of those stories. Do y'all think the penalty would have been a little bit too harsh? You know, maybe it could have been like a huge fine or maybe a one-year suspension?
I mean, guys, you're benefiting the program when you run around trying to pose as a squeaky clean establishment, and you're still raking in money with the football program that has ties with Paterno and his friend Sandusky and everything that went on with the child molestation. So when you go out recruiting and you go into the living rooms of these kids, you know, you're not being upfront, you're not being honest about what's going on at your university that could damage your reputation. That these kids
surely had Penn State reputation, especially Joe Paterno. I mean, dang, if he was still, I mean, alive from this, he might possibly could just die right there. No offense to that, with all this stuff going on, because his image, you know, I mean, his coaching had a clean, you know, clean record, Hall of Fame coach, but his image is down the drain after this one incident. He's been there pretty much all his whole life, spent his whole life at that university, brought in millions to that university, and to go out like that, man, it's something, man.
If he opens his mouth and takes a stand, because we know who ran the show at Penn State. Okay, let's just be honest about that. If he comes out and he goes to the top and he speaks out against it because he is Joe Paterno,
his reputation is intact. All he had to do was take a stand. That's all any of those guys had to do. But the reputation of the school and the image was more important than actually doing what's right. Simple as that.
All right, interesting perspective, and I want to tell the audience, you know, you can call in 347-237-5539 if you got any opinions. Please let us know. Matter of fact, we have a caller right now, 202. Hold up.
Mike.
202.
What's going on?
What's up, Mike? Is Mike?
202. You can you're on CMT Firestorm.
Hey, can I find out what topic today?
We're talking about the Penn State scandal. What's your opinion on that?
And they're done. They're totally done. I mean, it'll be a while till they rebuild themselves. I mean, even though they got the top quarterback next year, but I mean, it still is over with, you know. So it'll be a long way.
You think the top quarterback's gonna stay? What do you think about the players staying? Do you think they should be staying or not?
I think they should go. I mean, they're not going to a bowl game. They need to go to another school. They lost the top running back to USC. So, I mean, I want them to just keep moving. I want them. So, that's my opinion.
Okay.
I was going to add, too. Also, I don't know if you all heard, I guess a couple quarterbacks, that one of the top quarterbacks that recruited, already said he's going to come to Penn State.
He is.
Coach O'Brien, I mean, the man coach. So, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, so I guess.
All
right, thanks, man. Yeah. All right, I want to move to the next topic here. We want to talk about Tyrann Mathieu. We all know this week he allegedly failed a drug test. It hasn't been officially stated, but what I want to know is, you know, what should he do? There's been stories he may stay at LSU for a year and wait till next year to play, or should he transfer schools immediately to try to prepare himself to go to the draft the following year? I want to know what your opinion is on that. Let me start with you, Callie Mike.
Well, I look at it like this. I think, and I'm a strong opponent of illegal drugs, but there's, when these kids, like I said, they're kids. You know, I think a lot of people sometimes put a lot of pressure on these guys because they're athletes, and there is a certain amount of responsibility to it, but they're kids. They're college kids. We've all been college kids. And, you know, you have different kids getting in trouble for drinking. You got Tommy Reese right now, and the other linebacker, I can't think of his name, at Notre Dame. They just got suspended for drinking and resisting arrest. And they're just getting suspended. They're getting a one-game suspension. But you add, marijuana. You add that into the equation. Now you have a kid getting kicked off the football team. And to me, it's like, it's almost, you know, in both cases, they're illegal because they're both underage also. So, you know, it's to me saying that, you know, one crime is greater than the other when, in reality, like I say, these are all kids. I mean, this guy, he's had multiple problems with this, which leads me to think that it's more of a problem than people think. It's not just kick this guy off the team, he's a knucklehead. You know, this guy can be addicted, and, you know, he might need some serious help. And I think that I actually applaud him for going the route of saying that he's waiting to, rehabilitation and stay at Penn State for a year and just not play football, as opposed to, you know, go to some other school where, you know, he could continue to see actions.
Tex, what's your opinion on this, man?
I agree with everything that Mike said. He took the words right out of my mouth. I think it's a good thing that he's kind of going a little bit. He's doing like what Michael Dyer's doing. He's contemplating sitting out just 1 year and just to focus on his academics and come back and play football, which I don't think is a lose situation at all. I think you win with that. I think you give yourself time to rehabilitate yourself.
gain some maturity, learn, continue to learn from your mistakes, and come back and get on the field and do what you do. It's not like he's going to decline when he comes back. So I think it's
really
a good thing.
Is that right? Well, I mean, I'm in complete disagreement with both of you guys. I mean, I think that, you know, he was not projected to be a first-round draft pick anyway. So, I mean, he was on as high as he could go. So, you know, he wanted to continue that, to maintain that standard to impress the scouts. Well, I understand. Him as the person is more important. I'm with you there. I'm with you there, and I think I like the way LSU handled the situation. I like the way Les Miles handled the situation. But I think that depending on his academics, depending on who he is as a person, I think that the best thing for him to do is either transfer to another school and get himself ready for the draft. Now, if he's not a stellar student, he should definitely do that. But if the drug problem is really serious, you know, he can figure out a way to rehabilitate himself while he's playing football. He can do that. I truly think you can rehabilitate yourself, go to AA meetings, go to whatever these meetings is while you're playing football. So I think he should do work, focus on him as a person, but still continue to play football. That's just my personal opinion. Maybe go to a smaller school. What you saying?
What do you think would benefit him from going to another school? I mean, let's take Janoris Jenkins. What really benefited him from going to Northern Alabama? We knew that he was a great football talent while he was at University of Florida. So to me, going to another school is more of a self-serving act than anything else, because you're playing against less competition. You don't have anything. Once you go to that school, you're not proving anything else to the scouts at that point. You know, there's a kid out of FSU, Reed. He's transferring to Valdosta State. What's he got to prove there? To me, it can really only hurt you. Because if you get in there with the competition and you don't, you know, do outstanding, then people are really going to start putting questions about your ability.
It's true. It's going to hurt you, but it can hurt you a lot more if you sit out a year. You know, you got to consistently stay in shape. Football is one of those games. It's tough to sit out a year and then come back at a high level. Now, there are exceptions. If you're like an exceptional athlete, Michael Vick, for example. I mean, those are all exceptions. But in general,
But Michael Vick was still kind of rust when he came back, though. I agree with you on football being out for a year definitely hurts, but
totally different situation, Mike. Michael Vick was in jail. Let's take Mike Williams. Mike Williams from USC. He sat out a whole year, and he was in a – he went back to Florida and was doing it at an athletic training center the whole time. And he came back and was a top-10 draft pick.
True.
And, you know, this isn't, you know, like I said, you look at Vic was in jail. It's not like nobody's going to stop him from going to the gym or if he's going to make it illegal.
Mike Williams was looking, man, I don't know about that. He may should have been trained a little harder. The way he was looking, he was a top-10 draft pick, but I don't know how his play didn't translate that well to the pros until recently. He's had his best years recently. So,
that can also be contributed to coaching and other things. I mean, once, you know, you got to look at the situation the guy's in. It's very hard from a guy to go from one level to another and not translate. But, you know, especially when you have attributes that are outstanding, there's usually a reason for a lot of that. And in a game like football, where, you know, physical attributes can overshine skill a lot of times. It'd be different if it were, you know, basketball or something like that, where, you know, skill is going to come, you know, into play. But, you know, football, speed, size are dominant skill. You know, they're dominant attributes in that.
I'll say this about Janoris Jenkins. Had he had stayed at Florida and never got kicked out, possibly would have been a first round pick, not a second round pick. Because it was about the talent level he played in North Alabama, playing from where he was in Florida. So I think that definitely hurt him too.
Mm-hmm. Big Tex, you got a opinion, man? Tex, you there, Tex?
Okay. I'm sorry. One thing we have to remember is that the NFL has seen what Tyrann Mathieu can do. his position is listed at cornerback, but he's simply just playmaker. We're just going to call him a playmaker. He can sit out, he can stay in shape, and he can come back, and I believe he'll still be able to play football at a high level. I don't see any reason why that's impossible unless he gets seriously injured and has to come back from that injury. But the thing is, the NFL knows what he can do, and any NFL team can use a guy like Matthew everywhere, making plays, a guy on special teams, returning kicks for touchdowns. LSU will definitely miss him this year, and you'll see.
Definitely, definitely. Everybody had him being number one. Everybody had them being number one right now, but you losing them, hey, this defense.
I mean, how do you think
I would say that might go down now.
So how do you think LSU's going to respond to this? I mean, are they going to lose some lose a game over this? Or, I mean, what's going to be the case with LSU? Are they going to, like, if they're not going to lose a beat off of this?
They're going to lose a beat. They might could lose a game. Maybe. Hey, I know you would like this, Clydesdale. Hey, they might lose to you all.
LSU is, you know, they're a powerhouse program. They're going to have somebody else that's going to step up and be able to play adequately. But the thing you have to look at is how many games Matthew won for them last year, you know, whether it be from returning, you know, returning punts, because let's face it, they really didn't have that good of an offense last year, you know, to, you know, last-minute interceptions. You know, like Tech said, he was a playmaker. You know, and sometimes you need a, you know, a playmaker, game breaker kind of guy, you know, especially for a stagnant offense to you know, bust things open.
Also too, LSU, to me, I know we heard it a million times, and of course we hear it on the pro level. It's all about the quarterback. How the quarterback plays. Is the quarterback play gonna be like last year, or is it gonna take it up a notch? If it takes it up a notch, then hey, maybe that quarterback can cover, you know, losing, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, Mateo. You know, but if the quarterback is still standing like it was last year, not too good, then, yeah, LSU is going to have some problems. And I definitely, you know, seeing the losing him would not even put them at number one right now.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that quarterback. We're going to get into LSU and that quarterback situation in a few minutes. So I think LSU will bounce. My thing is LSU, I mean, they're loaded on defense. So I don't think they're going to lose a beat. I think I'm just skeptical with, like Mike from Chi-Town, I'm skeptical about that quarterback play. I mean, if the quarterback they have now was on the bench last year, and you saw the quarterback play last year, what makes you think that he's going to be better than what they had last year? So I'm a little skeptical about LSU in terms of their quarterback play also. But I want to move to the next subject because we're going to get back into that in our predictions. We're going to talk about USC. They're ranked number one on the ESPN panel. LSU's number one on the coaches poll. On ESPN's poll, USC is number one. And I know there's some strong opinions on this right here. People have been going back and forth on Facebook about this. Do you think they will live up to the hype of being the number one ranked team in the nation? I'm going to start with Tex.
I think USC is every bit deserving of that ranking. The quarterback comes back.
You think
back.
They're deserving of that ranking? Okay, and why do you think they're deserving of that ranking? I'm just very curious to know that.
Well, they bring back the best quarterback in the nation in the Pac-12, where you have wide-open offenses. USC has the best offense. They have bukus of talent defensively. They're loaded on offense. They're loaded. I think they bring back four starters on the offensive line. Both wide receivers come back. They're loaded at tight end. They have running back depth, especially with Silas Red transferring out of Penn State. They are the best. I think they have the best staff of coaches in the conference. You have Lane Kiffin, who's a massive recruiter. He's organized. He's a guy that pays attention to detail. His father, Monty Kiffin, defensive coordinator. I just think they're loaded from the top to the bottom, and I'd be shocked if they weren't playing in the BCS title game at the end of the year.
Wow, that's a bold prediction right there. You said you would be shocked if they're not playing in the BCS national championship.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Now Oregon poses a bit of a threat. Oregon can probably beat anybody in the nation, but I think that X factor is Barkley and his receivers, just NFL talent everywhere on offense for USC, and I mean they're loaded. I think they run the table, honestly.
Okay, Mike from Cali, I kind of already know your opinion what's going to be, but just let us know anyway. Let the audience know.
I gotta agree with Tex. I mean, this is this offense is loaded. From what people are telling me, they're viewing the practices. These guys are saying, which I'd have to see them on the field, but they're saying they're every bit as good as Matt Leiner and Matt Bunch. They won a national championship in 2005. They're saying it's
wow. Is
actually better. So,
wow.
That's scary right there, my friend.
That's a bold prediction.
Well, you
got to
look at it. You got to look at the number one picks you got. You got Barkley. He's going to go in the first round. Two wide receivers can go first round. You got 2,000-yard running backs coming back. The offensive line is going to be better than it was in 2005. I mean, this is a strong team. The defense was surprised. The defense surprised everybody, including me last year. You had all freshman linebackers, and you ended up with three all conference linebackers. I think they're returning everybody. They lost the main sack leader and Nick Perry last year. His first round pick going to Green Bay, but everybody else is back, and this is a strong team, and they're hungry. These guys have been out of bowl contention for the last couple of years. They had to wait. They paid their dues, and it's going to be interesting to see. And I also think that, for a team to make a complete, perfect run, you have to have a window of opportunity. As we see, especially with the BCS era, we've seen good teams come and go that just didn't fit that criteria of that time, and they played the wrong team. But if you look at USC, their biggest comp is going to be Oregon. But Oregon also lost LaMichael James and Deron Thomas, their starting quarterback. So, they're definitely going to be in a rebuilding mode, even though they're, just as loaded as any team in the country. But, these other teams, USC is bringing back the most heat, and that's, to me, that gives them the advantage.
I agree with the guys. Matt Barkley. The man started as a true freshman in there and came in there and did it. He's definitely one of my guys for the Heisman, and this is all the chips and stakes on the line for this guy. If the chips and stakes fall into their place, this man might be the number one pick in the draft in 2013. So I think he's gonna have a big year. USC, they back, and I agree too with Oregon. I think Chip Kelly's done a great job there, and they've been doing a good job getting recruits. So if they could get past Oregon, which I think that'll be their toughest match. If they get past them, then, like I said, they definitely could run the table and going undefeated and be in that BCS national championship. Maybe win the thing, too, as well.
Okay, well, my thing is this. Last year, I know y'all, please let me finish here. Last year, everybody was big on Florida State, and I kept putting on my Facebook wall, I said, what have they shown you? What have they shown you to indicate that they had garnered a top five ranking? I said they were a year away, and I'm saying the same thing you can see right now. I think they are loaded 1 to 22. That's the key, 1 to 22, okay? But after that, what do you have after that? I think they've shown enough. They've shown to be in the top five. They've shown to be in the top 10. Okay, but I don't think they're a shoe-in for a national championship. And if they're so good, why didn't Lane Kiffin go to Pennsylvania, go to Beavertown, and beg? Okay, I know Jamal don't like that, but he went over there and pleaded, Cyrus Red to come over there to USC. If they're so – you didn't see Nick Saban. You didn't see Les Miles go after that guy. You saw Lane Kiffin rush over there to Beaver Falls, wherever, to try to get Silas Red to come to USC if they're so stacked. My thing is, I don't think they're as good. I think they're good. I think they'll be very good. I think they're not going to win all their games. I think they're going to lose a game. I have them losing on the road to Washington this year. Oregon comes to USC, so I think USC will beat them. But they have to go to Washington, and I think they'll be a little bit better than Florida State was last year. I think
the same Washington they blew out last year, right?
Exactly, but difference. The Washington they played was at USC. If I'm missing it right, they have to go to Washington this year because that's a different story.
They lost their leader rusher and star player.
The star player is the quarterback.
Last year, Washington, their running back, I think he ran for around 1,300 to 1,600 yards.
I have them losing on the road. They have to go there on the road to play them. That's the thing. And I have them losing there, and I think they're going to come in a little bit arrogant. I think they're going to come in there thinking they're going to win, and they're going to lose the game. I think that's the game, and that's going to cost them the opportunity to make it to the national championship. Now, they'll be better than Florida State was last year, because I think they have more talent than Florida State had this year. But I kind of equate them to that analogy where Florida State, a lot of hype was for them coming in this year. And then, like I said, they're a year away. This year, I think Florida State will emerge as being a consistent top five team, whereas next year, USC will emerge as a consistent top five team. That's my prediction. I mean, you can give me some feedback.
Well, I'll say this. You know, USC, they're going to be arrogant this year. This team, like I said before, they've been under, you know, sanctions for the past. They're still under, you know, scholarship sanctions right now. They've been humble. You know, nobody said anything, you know, the past couple of years. They didn't make an uproar when Matt Barkley didn't go to New York as a Heisman finalist last year, even though he threw for 40 touchdowns. You know, this team, like I said, they've been humble. And, you know, it's time for them to get out there and pop their collars. This is, you know, this is how USC, you know, USC plays football. They're cocky. You know, just like the 2005 teams, 2006, they knew they were going to beat you. Just like the old Miami teams, they knew they were going to beat you. They said it. They're going to back it up on the football field. And this team has the same feel to me. They got swagger. Like I said, and they got the talent to back it up. If, you know, it's all going to be answered on the field.
Okay.
Also, Clausel, they got the coaching. You got the Lane Kiffin coaching the offense. And you got Monty Kiffin, who's been a defensive coach, coordinator under Tony Dungy. That Tampa cover two style, bringing that defense. So, man, they have the ingredients to do it all, man.
First of all, nobody's saying they don't have the ingredients. Let's not go there. But have they shown on the field last year that they are a bona fide top five team?
Yes, they went 10-2.
Okay. Yes. So they,
what more do they need to do?
You think it's going to be a shoe-in? So all three of y'all think it's going to be a shoe-in, they're going to run to the national championship game?
Nobody's a shoe-in. When USC is talented like they are now, they dominate, and they go to BCS title games, much like how Miami used to be. Only two teams in the nation that you can say that about.
Okay, whatever, man. We don't even get into that. But what I'm saying is,
we also know how tall these rankings are, man.
That's for next week. That's for next week. But I'm just saying, you know, I'm not convinced. You know, particularly the sign that showed me is when that really kind of convinced my skepticism was when Lane Kiffin rushed over there to Penn State to try to beg Silas Red to come to USC. That right there said something to me right
Quite
there.
Real.
That said,
Quite
Lane Kiffin wants to win, baby.
Quite
Lane Kiffin wants to win.
Did you see Lane Kiffin wants to win? Did you see Nick Saban go over there?
They didn't rush to get anybody. It's like you talked about. When is the window open? Their window is open now, so if you can,
Silas
if you
Red
can,
saw that.
If you yes, and I mean, you know, you go to USC, you go to the NFL. You understand what I'm saying? You stay at Penn State, you play for the 11th best offense in the nation the previous year, you know. Maybe you go to the NFL. You might. You understand what I'm saying? Go to USC.
I get what you're saying, but I kind of disagree. I mean, whatever.
But they,
let's look at the LSU situation. They said that over almost 30 schools have contacted LSU about getting Tyrann Mathieu, and this is a player that they know can't even play this year. And it's not all McNeese States in there. I'm guarantee you, there are some top D1 programs in there asking about
even Alabama. You know Alabama.
Alabama's not asking for Tyrann Mathieu.
Right. Okay,
so you don't think Alabama was asking for Cam Newton?
I don't know.
You probably don't?
Probably.
Come on now. Come on now.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Probably. I don't know, but probably.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll come out. It'll come out one day.
All right. Well, one last thing before we get on the latest news for college football. Recently, earlier today, there was a story that broke out that Reggie Bush gave the Heisman. I want to know what's your quick opinion on that before we take a little small break.
First, I want to say I thought, you know, this was already done already when he gave it back, you know, a couple years ago or something like that. Maybe it was last year, so why now they bring it up? Something like, okay, you know, he brought it back to Heisman. And what's other news? Reggie Bush is in the NFL now, who had, you know, mediocre career right now. I mean, he kind of shows signs, but hey, he's in the NFL, so oh well. Next.
I'd have told him I lost my Heisman trophy. Get that Heisman trophy back. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with Tex. I would have kept that thing so long they would have had to put it on my headstone at my funeral. and I would have painted it garnet and gold too, so they would have, you know.
All right. Damn. You know, I'm with you. I would have never given that thing back.
I mean, to me, like I said, to me, for them to, you know, I think, like I said, I think that combined with the, you know, with the sanctions that they're putting on Penn State, I think that this is going to, these sanctions are going to be a start to be a turning point for the power of the NCAA. I mean, is it, you know, like I said, the sanctions, you should have sanctions, but my thing is, don't punish the kids that, you know, that are coming in. You know, it's like I said, there's no reason that, you know, USC was kept out of bowls. There's, you know, there's no reason. To me, what they did with Penn State, hitting them in the pocket, that's the best thing you can do. You know, because that goes directly towards the school, and that's, you know, what they benefited off of. You know, to me, you know, like I said, that's, you know, and I, you know, like I said, I know that they're saying that, you know, that it's, you know, that's, you know, part of, you know, the program, whatever, takeaway games, but me, like I said, hit him in the pocket. You know, that $60 million is going to hurt any school, you know. And I think, like I said, I think both of those are going to have a lot of bearing on the sanctions that are coming down on Miami. So it's going to, which also leads me to the question is, why did the sanctions for Penn State come out so quick and the sanctions for Miami are going to probably take as long as the ones they did for USC, to where you're going to have kids that, you know, by the time the sanctions come in, are going to be graduated already, you know. So that's my point on it.
All right.
Yeah, that makes sense, Mike. Yeah, I get what Mike is saying on that. Kind of don't hear about the, you know, the Miami story no more, but you know, it's been the story this time last year, and still has it been some type of resolution to all of it yet? I mean, it should have been already. You know, dang, it's been a year already.
Yeah. They were just
on the boat with a bunch of women. That's all. like most college kids.
Yeah.
This young kids, man, they don't understand it. These kids are young, man. I mean, they're going to make mistakes. I mean, come on. You know, hey, it's life.
It's not a mistake. That's on a boat with a bunch of women.
Exactly. And that, right, you know, so, like I said, that leads me to think about, you know, the cover-up that was going on at Penn State. You know, 60 years of football and, you know, no major infractions, that's impossible. These are, you know, these are high school kids. They're not Stanford robots.
Yes. And they – you know, making money, all that money for the NCAA, and, you know, you see how they do with that. You know, it shows you right there. They bring in the money, but, you know, are they getting compensated for something on it? No. Only thing we hear about it is it's a negativity or they doing this, getting slapped in the hand, and all this other type of stuff where they can't do and restricted. But, hey, they bring in billions of dollars to the college sport.
All right. Yeah, we gotta take like a four-minute break, yo. Okay. We're going to be back with our conference predictions. Okay? GMC Firestorm.
I didn't care. Found your bag, packed my fist. With all that talking tough, I'm about to lose you.
Yeah.
This is my last.
I'm
black.
can't believe it, but I swear to God, I didn't mean it. But it takes a lot from me to admit I'm wrong, yeah. But I'll do whatever to save my home, cause I can't go back, back and forth, in and out, out the door. Don't wanna fuss and fight no more. Don't give a damn about the score, cause I'm a different kind of man. I'm the kind that understands what I got inside my hand. So
this is my last chance to love you.
I'm gonna play it like a grown man ought to.
If I only got one shot to win you,
then call me Jordan, fourth quarter in 92, yeah.
I'm gonna do it no matter what your girlfriend says. I'm gonna do it.
Believe me, baby, talking about the kind of change.
I'm gonna do it.
From a boy to a man, like Barack. I can find better, but the truth be told, I know that you're the one. Girl, it's plain to see that I ain't nothing without you, and it seems like every song on the radio is about you. Girl, go stay on home where you belong, so I can try to make some right out this room. Listen, baby,
it's your favorite song.
Call us in, 347-237-5539 if you got any opinions, major college football and professional. We're going to get into now our predictions, conference predictions, college football, major college football conference predictions for the upcoming season. My first question is, which is the best conference in college football right now? Please tell me. Cali Mike, what is it?
It's tough. With a grain of salt, I'm going to have to go ahead and say the Southeastern Conference.
With a grain of salt. Why is it with a grain of salt?
Because I believe that there is a bias towards the SEC, but they have proven to produce the best team for the last couple of years, and until somebody beats them, they're the king. So, you know, to the victor goes the spoils.
Okay. Mike, Shytown, what do you think?
Hey, SEC, plain and simple. I mean, them teams, boy, it's a, you know, crawl to go through out of that conference and, you know, see a team go undefeated, which you think this year we're going to see an undefeated team? If so, what team would that be? But it's just, they've been putting out prospects, you know, players. I mean, look at the coaches in the conference. You got Nick Saban. You got Les Miles. You got Steve Spurrier. And, you know, Mark Richt, you know, which even he had some bad heat, you know, was feeling the heat last year. I think he's done a good job. He brought Georgia back to life, and I thought he's done a good job there. So, I mean, you got some, you know, good coaches there in that conference. So, I mean, the recruiting's going to still be there, and the South is football, and it's going to keep going. Also, I forgot Florida's coach. He's not too bad either.
All right, Tex, what do you think, man?
Without question, I believe it's the Southeast Conference from top to bottom, deepest conference in the nation. BCS record of 8-1. You have six teams that have won or shared a BCS championship. You have three teams with two each since the inception of the BCS. So, without question, the SEC, grown man ball down there.
Grown man ball, interesting. Well, I mean, what do you think separates the SEC from the rest of the conferences? I mean, is it the schemes? Is it the type of players they have? Or, I mean,
well, it's in a way the type of players that they have. I mean, look, up north, they're big. Out west, they're fast. Down south, they're really fast. You see what I'm saying? I just the physical play of the conference. I mean, why is it? I mean, how do you think that Colt McCoy can go through the Big 12, Texas, to get to a BCS title game, and oh, he comes and he plays Alabama, he gets hit, and then he's all of a sudden out of the game? It's because you're not playing Big 12 teams anymore. It's because you're playing SEC teams. And it's just the level of the physicality level is just, you know, it's off the charts. Week in, week out, you face NFL-type schemes defensively, especially down there with Alabama. You're dealing with top-notch coaching staffs, and I don't know if it's a bit overrated or underrated, but just the culture down south, and as far as football is concerned, when you tie that in with the culture, you know, there's nothing else to do but play football in many of those towns anyway. I mean, you go to Knoxville, it's all they have is football. You know, Tuscaloosa, what do they have? It's football. There's nothing. You know, it's not Miami. It's not L.A. You know what I'm saying? It's not New York. So
shot right there. That's the shot right there, but it's all good. Well, I mean, I'm with
kept
the
it
SEC.
Real, though. He kept it real, though.
All right. I mean, it's all good. I mean, I'm with the SEC right now. I mean, I do think the level of talent is, the gap is coming closer and closer, though. I think there are a lot of good teams in the Big Ten. I think a lot of good teams out west. But like I said, from top to bottom, once you have that two-headed monster, LSU and Alabama, that's sort of head and shoulders above a lot of teams. You know, and plus, don't sleep on Georgia, but I mean, they're not on the level of LSU and Alabama. You know, Florida's kind of creeping up. So once you have those big name teams, I think the big name teams in the SEC are head and shoulders over the big name teams in the other conferences. So whereas the lower level schools may not necessarily be head and shoulders above the lower level schools in the other major conferences. So I think the key is that big name team, the major teams in the SEC, they're just head and shoulders above everybody else, so you can still have the SEC at the top of the food chain as of right now. My question is, okay, this year, who do you average as far as your Heisman predictions? Monty Bell's up in the list. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu's not playing now, so Matt Barkley's on the list. So who's your Heisman prediction? Let me start with you, Kelly, Mike.
Well, I think you got to go with the clear, you know, favorite, Matt Barkley out of USC. Even though he wasn't a finalist last year, he's going to be at the head of, you know, the most high-powered offense in the country this year. He plays in the quarterback-friendly pro-style offense. Excellent wide receivers, you know, got his offensive line coming back. This is his fourth year, so he knows the offense, and he's comfortable. But I'll tell you, Monty Ball out of Wisconsin is going to be pretty hard, you know, to not give him a look. I mean, 39 touchdowns, I don't care what conference you're in, rushing, is, you know, that's amazing. You know, and I think he should have got more votes last year than, you know, like I say, it's going to be a close race, in my opinion. I can't see Barkley running away with it, not with the way some of these other guys have been playing this year.
Okay, Chi-Town, Mike, what you got?
Well, I know it's still early. They still getting, you know, for the season to kick off. But, you know, Matt Barkley's a guy that's up there, you know, that could be, you know, definitely, if the season had started today, yeah, he'd be a guy, I would say, being my number one of a guy who could get a Heisman. Also, too, you know, we've seen another dynamic player, another excitement player last year who had some attention, too, but he was getting some, you know, getting pub, but then, you know, going along with RG3, Robert Griffin, and Shoelace, Denard Robinson. So he's a guy I would put up there, too, just to see what he would do in his second year under, you know, Hope, the coach there in Michigan.
What accuracy? Shoelace with what accuracy?
I mean, he's just a dynamic player, man. Hey, he got
dynamic
it going. He makes plays.
Okay.
I mean, he can improve that, though. I mean, you know, he's still young. But
in 1 year?
He could be, okay. Just being the second year with the coach, let's see if he takes that, you know, to another level as well. But, hey, he's just a dynamic player, man. Probably one of the most exciting players to watch right now.
Let me ask you guys this, now that Mike has brought it up. What exactly do you think should be the criteria for the Heisman? Should it be the best player, the best NFL prospect? Because, I mean, in Mike's defense, Shoelace for the past 3 years has been phenomenal. You know, it's you know, you can't deny. I mean, he wasn't far that off Cam Newton when he won his Heisman. You know, he was right there behind him. You can't deny the man is, you know, he's a less football player. So, I mean, what do you guys think, you know, should be the criteria for the Heisman Trophy?
I mean, I don't think he's that accurate of a player, passer. I think that factors in into the Heisman qualifications. I mean, you know, he's a dynamic player. Don't get it twisted. He's the exciting player, you know. But in terms of his accuracy, I'm not convinced. And I don't think he's going to be in the contention for the Heisman because he's going to get his butt beat at the beginning of the year. But that's another story in itself. But you know, the standard should be not necessarily the best pro prospect. It should be strictly on the field in college. If you, for example, if you're talking about quarterback, I mean, you should be judged according to your position. If you're a running back, you can run outside the tackles. You can run in between the tackles. If you're a quarterback, you should be able to throw the ball accuracy. You should be able to make plays.
I'm gonna be real on that for last year. Honestly, I was kind of a little surprised that RG3 won Heisman. I thought Andrew Luck was gonna win. Tell you the truth, I mean RG3 might be, you know, I'd say a better all-around athlete than Luck, maybe a little better. But I think Andrew Luck, as a pure quarterback, you know, is better than RG3.
Well, this is what I think. I thought last year Matt Barkley was one of the top three players, regardless of position in college football. I felt very strongly about Tyrann Mathieu winning the Heisman Trophy. I thought he had a profound impact on LSU's wins. And, I mean, not every day does a defensive player win the Heisman Trophy, but I think easily just performance on the field, his impact on the game, and for what team it was, a contending team, I thought Mathieu was the – I thought Mathieu should have won the Heisman Trophy.
I mean, I personally thought it should have been
– Matt Barkley.
I thought it should have been Trent Richardson. I mean, every single game he was dominant, including the LSU game. He was not shut down. He had 162 total yards in the LSU game, which they lost. I mean, I thought he would have been the shoe-in Heisman until RG3, all that hype was coming at him at the end of the season, and then he was saying Baylor just won their first Heisman. I thought Trent Richardson was robbed the Heisman. Sort of like Carson Palmer did to Willis McGahee, but that's another story in itself right there. But
Palmer Wallace McGahee of Heisman, he did.
Yeah, I believe so. I that's what I believe. So I remember with FAMU lobby, I felt like Willis McGahee, he was the best player in the country, and then all of a sudden this hype came about Carson Palmer. I was like, what is this?
Okay, but did he have the best season? Was he the best running back? Did he get the most yards?
Willis McGahee was the best running back that season. Yes, he was.
I'm going to have to do some research on that, Mr. Mathis.
Yeah, we were watching the games in the lobby in Gibbs. But you know, hey, it's whatever. That's another conversation.
I mean, hey, McGahee was a bad running back, though. I give you that, though. But we all know mostly with the Heisman, mostly Tom Gibbs to the quarterback. And Carson Palmer,
yeah, okay,
though, he had all the hype, and he showed, though.
I just not put up the Heisman voting results. Carson Palmer. We had Carson Palmer number one out of USC. Brad Banks, forget about him. He was pretty bad out of Iowa. Larry Johnson out of Penn State was also over Ken Dorsey. Larry Johnson, I think he had 2,000 yards rushing that year. He was a beast. Then
yeah,
we got Willis McGahey
at number
four.
He wasn't
hyped
that much.
Well, I mean, hype, like I said, you know, Willis McGahey, who's a, you know, they were, I think, I believe they're the number one team in the country that year. You know, it's hard to, well, I think they got beat, but it was hard to, you know, hard to deny it. I mean, I'm not saying he wasn't a good running back, but, you know, looking at this list, you know, you had Chris Brown out of Colorado. I think he ran for around 1,800 yards. Quentin Griffin out of Oklahoma. There were a lot of running backs that year.
I think McGahey performed. I think Carson Palmer, I thought he was deserving of the Heisman Trophy. He had a lot of good running backs that year. And McGahey stood out, but you had plenty of good running backs that year.
All right. Well, like I said, that's another conversation.
I give you that. He had that speed, though, too. That's what separated him from the other guys.
All right.
And McGahey wasn't even the best player on his team. So,
yes, that year he was. He was that year. Yes, he was. That's not true. Yes,
one of the
was
best players,
year.
But that Miami was a hell of a, I mean, heck of a
best
team.
Best player on the team.
Boy, that year
John
he was
Taylor?
Best player on the team. Yes, he was. That's not true.
All right, John Taylor?
Hold on, Mike. As I remember, wasn't that the year that Frank Gore was actually supposed to start and McGahey, but he broke his leg?
Yeah.
Yeah, because McGahey was going to be the fullback.
And they were saying Gore was hands and feet above McGahey. I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah,
no
he
contest.
Was.
It was
but he wasn't.
Starter.
Hey. But
McGahey was supposed to be the back before Portis was, but you had kind of a thing where, you know, Portis gets his chance and he shows up. So McGahey's relegated to fullback, but then you got Gore coming in, he's supposed to take over. Gore gets injured, now McGahey can start. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And in high school, just take this out. In high school, Sean Taylor was a running back. This picture of Sean Taylor came in, probably could have been a running back, but then he just happily easy is. They put him out in the secondary.
That's another sign about how dominant that Miami team was, too. I mean, you got three guys, Sportis, McGahey, and Gore. You know, fighting for your running back. You really can't even lose, you know, in a situation like that.
Yeah. All right, I want to get into another topic here about, like, who's going to be the bounce-back team in the country? Like, who's going to come – what team's going to come out of nowhere and come back to their national prominence? I want to start with Tex. What do you think?
you might call me crazy, but I have to say Florida. I have to say the Florida Gators. I think the quarterback situation, I think it'll be improved. I'm telling you right now, do not be surprised if Florida has the number one defense in the SEC. And
oh
it's a top five.
Are you kidding me?
Do not be surprised.
Oh, my God. All right. Now, the quarterbacks they have, Jeff Driskel, Jacoby Brissett, I mean, what have they shown? They had under 50% completion percentages last year.
I understand.
What
that
makes you think that they're going to improve? What running game
they were
they
freshmen,
have?
Weren't
they? Had, what'd you say?
Weren't they freshmen last year? They're two five-star quarterbacks. I mean, they're not bad.
They're not bad. No, they're not bad, particularly Brissett. I like Brissett. I kind of like him. He's 6'5". He can run. I like that. But that accuracy needs to get better. Usually you show flashes, but when you have under a 50% completion percentage, that's not necessarily a good sign right there in terms of a good quarterback. So I'm kind of with you. I agree with you, Florida is my team too, but – would I say a jump that they're going to be the best defense in the SEC? Absolutely not. I'm not going to go that far. I cannot go that far.
I
think they'll be a – what?
I would definitely go that far. Florida's defensive line is outstanding, easily one of the top four or five defensive lines in the nation, one of the top four or five linebacker corps in the nation, and secondary is probably top 15, top 10 maybe. Solid team, best special teams in the land. Take a look at Virginia Tech. Look at how they play on defense and look at their special teams. It is a formula for winning in college football.
Beamer ball, yeah. True. I'm gonna go ahead and add on to what Tech said about University of Florida, even though I'm going to pick another team when it's my turn. But that University of Florida defense,
their recruiting class 4 years ago was hailed as the top defensive recruiting class of all time. I believe that their defensive line, I think they had actually like the top four defensive linemen in the country. You know,
yeah.
And these guys, you know, this their senior year, I think. These guys, you know, they're hungry. They've been kind of, you know, underachieving now, and I think you got I think they're going to surprise a lot of people in the SEC.
I agree.
In Florida, like I said, this past year, they were competitive, man. They wasn't, you know, like they were getting blown out or a cupcake team. They was in it. The first year head coach, a guy who
really?
Could have been.
They were in against Alabama?
In Texas.
Well, it's like you said earlier, quarterback play has a lot to do with it, you know. I mean, you know, and you know, truthfully being on there, the quarterbacks were horrible last year. I don't know what's going on in Florida. They need to rectify that because, you know, that's one area where they haven't had, you know, that's been the focal point of their offense is quarterback. So
who's your team, Mike? Callie, Mike, who's your team?
Oh, my team, Texas Longhorns. I think that their defense is going to be awesome. Besides the LSU, to me, Texas got the best defensive ends in football. Linebackers are strong, awesome secondary. They got good running backs, good wide receivers. Like I say, they got a question at quarterback. But I think if their quarterback comes in and at least can be a game manager, I think this could easily be a 10-win team.
Okay. Did you say your prediction on shutdown, Mike?
Yeah, I have to agree, too, with Texas because it's Texas, and I don't think Texas is going to have another down year. You know, Mac Brown and the recruits, of course, Texas get in that state. You know, Texas is going to be up there. They're going to be back hungry. You know, and they're going to battle Oklahoma.
Okay. I got Florida Gators again, but I got them winning the SEC, but they're going to get blowed out by LSU or Alabama in the SEC championship. I think they're maybe a year or so away. Also, I don't think that Will Muschamp is the guy for that job. I don't think he can get them to a national championship. I think he can get them.
Oh man! Hey, I mean, oh
I think
man!
He can get them to
man.
Being a very good team. I think he can get them to being a very good team, but I don't think he can take them over the hump. I think he's sort of like Stan Van Gundy. When panic comes, he sort of when bad times come, he sort of panics. A little bit. I sense that with his body language on the sideline. So I think he's a very good coach, but I don't think that he's going to take them to the next over the hump. So they're gonna have to get somebody else to come in there who can take them over the hump at some point in the future. But I got Florida Gators coming back though. All right, we got a caller though. 205.
Hello, Mr. Masters. This is Michael Grady speaking.
What's going on, Mike? What's going on?
Not as much. I heard some on your show, man. That sounded very interesting.
What was interesting?
What team is the comeback team of the next upcoming season?
Okay.
And you know, I'm sorry.
Who you got as your team? You're on the air now.
Auburn University. By no means necessary. Auburn University.
I mean, with what quarterback?
Well, if you've been following Auburn, we have a young up-and snapper. You know, he's young. Last year, he didn't have very many chances to succeed. Like, when we put him in, he was put in pressure by fire. And, you know, with a young quarterback come from high school, that's not a winning formula. But now, this season, being under a offensive coordinator that has NFL experience. He has, you know, experience in training quarterbacks up very well. He's going to do well. Throw in a more experienced offensive line. Throw in a offense that's going to be fueled by the running game and a great fullback, a stable of running backs. I mean, you have an offense that's probably going to blow through Clemson, you know, and we have a very opportunistic defense. That's going to, you know, bring a lot of pressure. And it's not going to be an offense that, you know, is on the field for 20 seconds. It's going to be on the field for, like, you know, it's going to run some time off the clock. So I think I think we have a great chance.
Okay.
That's a very interesting perspective. Actually,
I like the I like. Are we talking? You talking about Keel Frazier there out of Auburn, right?
Yes, Kyle Frazier.
Yeah, I actually. Is that how you pronounce his name? I know it's spelled kind of funny, but yeah, I like to play that quarterback. I saw a lot of his tapes in high school. He was a very, you know, very highly recruited guy, and if that can transfer over to the college level, he's going to be very successful.
I want to go on and say that I also think I wouldn't put them, I don't know if I would call them maybe a team that would bounce back. I mean, they did. They go from 14-0 to 8-5. They do have 15 starters back, but they lost the offensive coordinator. I think the SEC is so strong. It's been strong, but I just think it's just a really, really, really strong conference. If you talk about Auburn being a comeback team, you have to talk about Tennessee being a comeback team because their offense is explosive. They have some young guys that can play. Auburn will definitely be stronger than what they were last year. I don't know if it will equate to a better record, but they'll definitely be better than they were in 2012 than they were in 2011. I just think the conference, they're getting caught up. This year they just caught up in just a really, really brutish situation as far as the conference is concerned and the competition.
Well, I mean, my thing is if they beat Clemson, the key is Clemson. There's no Sammy Watkins. That's a big plus right there. That's the first game of the year. That sets the tone. But then you have to go to Mississippi State. You have to go there, and that's not going to be a pushover right there. Okay, then you got some cupcake, and then you have LSU coming into Auburn. So if you can go through at least the first three games 3-0, you probably got a good chance of coming a confidence booster to come in to play LSU. That's my view on Auburn right now.
Or even 2-1. That's still a confidence booster. You know, we can lose
3-0.
I think it's possible for us to lose against LSU. LSU loses to Alabama. We beat Alabama, and then we beat, you know, all the other teams that we're supposed to beat, Texas A&M, you know, a few more teams, and we still make it to the SEC West.
We'll see about that, man. I doubt it, man. But, hey.
You know, one thing, the Iron Bowl between Bama and Auburn, you know that's going to be a battle regardless of what the records are.
That's true, but they got to go through a heap of schedule here. But, hey, is
Alabama going to be in Auburn this year?
No, it's in Alabama this year.
Oh, okay.
All right, hold on. Hey, Mike, I gotta move to the next topic, man. Thanks for calling, yo.
No problem. All right, man.
Okay. Speaking of that, who do you predict? Who do you think's gonna win the SEC this year?
LSU.
Mike, Cali, Mike, what you got?
I'm going to go out on a limb here. And I'm going to say these were the Bulldogs.
The Mississippi State Bulldogs? That's what you said?
Georgia
Bulldogs. Oh, you got the Georgia Bulldogs. And who are they going to beat in the SEC Championship game? Who do you have?
Who are they going to beat?
Yeah.
I don't know. Actually, I haven't looked at the
Okay. All right. Okay. So you got the Georgia Bulldogs. Shottown, who you got?
Well, but until something happens, I mean, I thought they wasn't going to do it, but they pulled it out. But I still have to say, you know, Roll Tide, Alabama, Crimson Tide, who they going to play in the battle in Atlanta, I still don't know. Still questionable who they're going to play.
I mean,
I'm still reviewing.
Yeah, naturally I would think LSU because Alabama lost all that talent. But then I start thinking to myself, what quarterback they have? If he was on that bench last year and they played what the type of quarterbacks they played last year and he was on the bench, I'm trying to think, what is this guy going to bring to the table that he couldn't bring last year? So I have my gut feeling right now. I'm just going by gut feeling. I really have Alabama because I like the attitude that Nick Saban has. He's not coming off as arrogant. He's just saying, hey, we have a strong – this is our strong point. And our skill positions are going to have to catch up to the strong point, which is the offensive line and the quarterback of the team. And I think, you know, as far as the defensive is concerned, we lost a lot of players. But obviously, it's Alabama, so they reload. Okay, I'm not saying Alabama's winning the national championship, but I do have a feeling, I have this gut feeling that they will win the SEC. And I think they may lose a game, maybe lose to LSU, but I still think they're going to get to the SEC championship game. Okay, Pac-12, who do you got as the Pac-12?
USC.
Okay, Mike.
USC.
Trojans, I don't even think that's, like I said, I can't see anybody really, you know, really making a challenge for them in the Pac-12. I tell you who to really look out for, and I don't know if people are going to be looking for them, but look for Utah. They've got a pretty good team, and they run a strong scheme down there, and they get a lot of good players. They have I believe they have number one defensive tackle in the country this year. And they're going to surprise a lot of people. But other than that, it's USC by a mile.
I was going to say, it's too bad that Boise State is not in the Pac-12. Hey,
really?
That'd been good to have them in there.
Yeah. They'd be in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
I got USC, too. What about Big Ten?
Ooh. I'm going to say Michigan because I like the quarterback. I like the offense. You know, it's not a traditional Big Ten offense, big and slow-footed. They kind of fast break. I like that. I like that to carry them to a division title. I think their defense, is not really that good. They have nowhere to go but up because they were so terrible, but I think the quarterback and the offense is good enough, is athletic enough for them to win the Big Ten.
Okay. Callie, Mike, who you got?
I'm going to go ahead and agree with Tex on Michigan. I think they're, you know, they got a good team. Shoelace, you know, Denard Robinson, he's going to bring to the table. He's going to bring a dynamic threat through the air on the ground. I believe they lost their number one receiver last year, if I'm knowing my things right. But I really like the running Fitzgerald Toussaint. He's very fast, very elusive. I believe he just actually got suspended for some team violations or something like that. But I think if they can come on the field, keep healthy, they're gonna, like, you know, like Tech said, this isn't your average Big Ten offense. This isn't your average Big Ten team. These guys are fast, flying around the ball. You know, like I say, I think they're only going to get better. And, you know, like I really can't see any other challenges stepping up in that conference. Besides, I've been hearing a lot of things about Michigan State, but I got to look at them more. I really have looked at them a lot, but until I see any different, I got to go with Michigan.
Okay. Chi-Town, what you got?
Well, for the good old Big Ten being a good old, there's some teams that's kind of right now, I can't say a clear cut, but there's some teams right there that's in the hunt that could be in that Big Ten championship and be a Big Ten champion. First off, I mean, Cali Mike said, I wouldn't disagree, Michigan is one of the teams out there, Wisconsin. Russell Wilson, but then they got the quarterback from Maryland under, you know, Mike, what's his name, Bellamy, the coach in Wisconsin, which Wisconsin's never had haven't had a down year, you know, so far. So they're going to be, I think, some going with deal.
Well, I got a dark horse team. I got Nebraska.
Situation. He had a best last year with, you know, the Friesian, you know, not in a whole loop.
Mike. Hello?
Is his phone going in and out or is it me?
Yeah, his phone going in and out. We'll try to get him back on the line, but in the meantime, I got Nebraska. I got them winning. I think Michigan is going to I think they're going to lose pretty badly the first game of the year, and that's going to be a confidence killer. And they may lose the second game of the year when Air Force comes into to play them and plays them. They're going to be so down after that first loss. It's going to be the tone for the rest of their season. So I got the second place.
Excuse me, Mr. Matthews. You said you had Michigan losing really bad in the first game of the year. Why would you have that? I wonder why.
I mean, come on, man. Shoelace against that defense? I mean, come on, man. Are you kidding me? Come
Where's
on,
this game going to be at? Is this game going to be in the big house in Michigan?
No, it's going to be in Texas, the house that Jerry built. So,
oh, it's at a neutral site? Oh, my goodness.
I'm like,
I'll
do this
for a game against Alabama to be in Texas. Come on now.
Are you talking about Shoelace? I mean, Shoelace against that defense? He's going to get killed. So, I mean, my thing is, I just think they're going to get blown out. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's going to be
blown out.
Blown out
by what
offense?
Who's running back for Alabama? Eddie Lacy? How many games
yes,
have he played?
Yes, T.J. Yates. T.J. Yates. You better remember that name. T.J. Yates. Remember that name.
I don't remember it right now. I don't know who you're talking about. Who?
Well, okay. You'll know that name by the end of this year.
T.J. Yates, you haven't seen about the quarterback in North Carolina, former quarterback in North Carolina.
I'm confused. Why? Say that again. I'm sorry.
When you said T.J. Yates, you had me thinking about the former quarterback at North Carolina who was in Houston.
Oh, yeah,
Five-star recruit. We're talking about the five-star recruit. Is Reggie Bush Jr. Let's just put it that way, all right, Mike? Mike. It's Reggie Bush Jr. Let's just put it that way, all right?
We'll remember that, Clydesdale.
Yeah, remember that. Remember what I said?
Reggie
Bush Jr. He's a little bit bigger than Reggie Bush, too. Let's just put it that way, okay?
Let me ask you a question real quick about Alabama. Where's I think his name was Hart. I believe he played running back.
He was redshirted. He tore his ACL.
Oh, okay.
He's playing this year too.
I expect a lot from him. I saw him in the Army All American game. He was pretty explosive.
Exactly, but T.J. Yates is even better than him. So you just better keep that in mind. So keep that in mind. But anyway, I got to move on here. Let's go to the Big 12. Who do you got, Big 12?
Is that on me?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go ahead and take the Oklahoma Sooners. They're bringing everybody back. They lost their top wide receiver, but they played pretty good without him last year after he got injured. Landry Jones is coming back. Kenny Stills. Wide receiver, Tony Jefferson at safety. Like I said, this is going to be a pretty loaded team. I believe that Mike Stoops is back there, coach with the defense from after being a head coach at Arizona. So I think he's going to get that defense tightened back up. You know, they lost a couple of teams. No more A&M, no more Missouri. I don't got to worry about James Franklin or anybody like that. So I can see Oklahoma easily getting all the way to the. Maybe undefeated until the Big 12 championship.
Okay. Jamal, who you got, man? Text.
I'm going to have to go with OU, too. Conference where they don't play defense, wide open. OU brings back the quarterback. The defense is solid. Don't see any reason why they can't blow through the Big 12.
Okay. I got OU, too. Shot down quick. Who you got?
I got Oklahoma, who they play in the Big 12 championship. Right now, I don't know who's the other team that can step up. You know, two teams I know that's going to drop. It's going to be Baylor and Oklahoma State. I think both of them teams are going to slide down this year.
Okay. All right. Real quick, ACC, who you got? I got Florida State.
No, Florida State. Those two.
Florida State.
I'm going to go with Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech surprised the heck out of me last year because I thought they were going to kind of take some steps back, but they was right in that hunt. So I think they're going to be right up there again in the ACC championship. And another team that impressed me, and I watched, you know, some of their games last year. I like West Virginia. West Virginia is a team that's right there too. Their coach there, running his style, how they score, and their boy, what's his name, Geno. He's good. He's another guy. We forgot about him. He could be definitely one of the highest in the finalists too this year because the numbers he's putting up in that offense. You know, West Virginia is going to score a lot of points.
Okay. Well. What I want to do is I want to take a quick break here, about a 2-3 minute break. What we're going to do is we're going to get into our NFL coverage. So make sure you call in, EMC Firestorm, 347-237-5539. You want to state your opinion, you can. We'll get into our NFL coverage next. EMC Firestorm, see you in a few.
Yo, 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 what's going on, y'all?
Time will bring the real end of our trial. There'll be no remnants, no trace, no residual. Your face will be the reason I smile, but I will not see what I cannot have forever. I'll always tell you, I hope you feel the same. Oh, you played me dirty, you came up so fast. Thought when my affliction had to fill out my prescription from the way I must be, I had to set you free.
Firestorm, 347-237-5539. If you got any opinions, please call us. We're going to get into our NFL discussion. Information has been going on in the NFL this week. First thing we're going to talk about is Chad Johnson. He's been released from the Miami Dolphins effective yesterday. I want to know what your opinions on that is. Did the Miami Dolphins make a good move by doing that? And you just give your opinion on what you think about the whole situation. Let's start with you, Big Tex. What do you think?
I think the Miami Dolphins did what they had to do. You look at the NFL Network, you see the commercial about the players talking about domestic violence, how it won't be tolerated. So it's basically a one strike and you're done type thing. I'm not saying that to indict Chad on anything of him allegedly headbutting his ex-wife, but it's just a situation that can't be tolerated. I think the Dolphins, you know, with Joe Philbin coming out of Green Bay, we know how they do things in Green Bay. We know it's no nonsense. And if you saw Hard Knocks, you saw Chad's presser. It was filled with expletives. Joe Philbin pulled him to the side and told him, hey, this is how we represent the Miami Dolphins. These are the things that we will do, and these are the things that we will not do. And then you have this domestic dispute with this woman. So to avoid any distractions,
woman. Whatever,
I,
I guess you have to cut ties with Chad. It's unfortunate because he hasn't been charged with anything, but you know, Philbin has laid it down. You know, these guys aren't playing. You're cleaning up a program, you're setting the culture, and you know, after you already warned him, you have to cut him.
Shottown, what do you think?
Well, Tex laid it on the money on what he, you know, he said, you know, with the Chad Johnson situation with this man. Again, it is unfortunate on it. Like Tex said, he wasn't charged with nothing, but when I was hearing, too, that the way he was playing out there, he's an old shell of himself. He probably won't even be the starting opening day, and he might have even made the team. He might have got cut because he's been on the decline the past few years, so really, you know, might be it for the guy. He might get another chance. He might not. I don't know. It might be a while before we're hearing Chad Johnson in football until all this stuff clears up, because right now I don't think teams want to deal with the headache. It's training camp still, and everybody got their own, you know, things going on with their team. They don't want to add to no baggage and drama, bringing in someone who has baggage or drama to the team, which every team now, you know, getting ready and preparing for the season and have that season, you know, to get to that Super Bowl. And they don't want to be dealing with those type of distractions, media coverage, vice versa, which he brings, you know, media coverage and all in the circus. And like they were saying, I was hearing on the news of the day, like, man, nobody wants to be bothered with that. It's good when he's producing, you know, hey, some teams would tolerate that. But when you're not producing and not, you know, showing the Chad Johnson of the old, I mean, really, he's not worth it.
Okay. Callie, what you think?
Tell you the truth, I'm kind of afraid to comment on Chad Johnson because I don't want him to headbutt me. So I'm just going to say that these guys in my day, you gotta protect yourself more. And to me, like I say, Chad Johnson, he's a, you know, try to be a larger than life character, but by, and I don't, you know, you can't really judge anybody on their personal life because we all got our issues. But by bringing this woman in his life, he invited confusion into his life, you know, and you don't want to bring in confusion into your life when you're already at a, you know, at a flux in your life. You know, it's like, you know, I think a lot of these guys, they get too into, you know, what they do on the field. You know, one of my favorite football players of all time is John Randall. And, you know, on the field, he's a character, you know, war paint on his face, yelling, you know, spitting on guys, doing what he had to do. But you never heard about him acting no fool off the field, you know. And some of these guys, I think they take their personas, you know, from the field as being, you know, larger-than-life characters, you know, and they try to institute it in their regular lives, and that's when they get in trouble. You know, this guy, you know, getting with this, you know, reality star, you know, guys shooting themselves in clubs. I mean, you know, it's to the point where it is getting kind of ridiculous, and it's bad for the NFL because it is – it's starting to become part of their culture, you know. And once, you know, once you get, you know, a culture of foolishness, then, you know, it's hard to break out of it, you know. And I think, you know, like, you know, like Tex said earlier, you know, you got a guy, a no-nonsense guy that, you know, that's not going to, you know, he's not going to stand for that on his football team. And I think, you know, you can't blame him. Who, you know, you do want some exposure. That's why, you know, you're on Hard Knocks in the first place. But you don't want a clown show, you know, or anything that's going to endanger your team, you know, or, you know, or anything detrimental like that. No matter what's going on in, you know, in the Chad Johnson case, you know, I don't know if he's, you know, if he was right or wrong, but I'm just saying, you know, don't invite confusion into your life, you know, especially when it can cost you millions of dollars, and some of these guys don't get that.
The
biggest thing of all is that the talent doesn't warrant patience with whatever situation is going on, whatever negative situation that Chad's bringing about. I mean, he's past his prime, you know, no foot speed, now still quickness, but no foot speed. When the speed is gone, what else do you have? And he's making, but maybe he might have been making a veteran minimum or a little bit over that. I mean, you know, cut your losses. You're not taking a cap hit. If Chad is making $5 million a year, which he would be if he was still in his prime, then you probably, you know, I mean, obviously you're not going to cut him. But I mean, he's making under $1 million. I mean, you don't have to keep him. The talent is not worth the headache. So, you know, that's another thing that goes along with it.
Also, too, I was gonna say, why would he say this on Hard Knocks, joking? Now, finally, around the time he gets in this situation, we could be going to jail or something. Why in the world would you say that?
He's just trying to get attention. But I mean, speaking of that, I just think, you know, I feel sorry for him. I really hope he gets another opportunity. I'm kind of in agreement with what Skip Bayless said earlier today. The coach, he didn't want him there in the first place. I really didn't think, you know, the way he was talking to him on that first episode of Hard Knocks, he was looking away from him, talking to him when he had issue with him cussing and things like that. So I just don't think that the coaching staff wanted him there in the first place. And he's easily their best receiver right now, which doesn't say much of anything, but he's the best receiver that they have right now. And I think he still has some quickness. He's obviously out of his prime, like you all said, but I still think he's a very not elite, but, you know, he's a very mid-NFL receiver right now. And I think he would have done a lot of good things on the team. And I just hope he gets another opportunity, man. And, I mean, I think it was just a mistake for him to marry that woman in the first place. That's another conversation in itself about that woman.
Agreed.
But I think we all in agreement with that. But, you know.
I was going to say this, though. I guess Miami kind of want to head into a new direction because, you know, they was having these type of problems, issues with Brandon Marshall, you know, with domestic abuse. And, you know, he's with my Bears now, and, you know, so far, you know, nothing other than that incident, which is done. So right now he's clean right now. So
what
I guess
Miami,
you know, they, you know, with his wife, you know, the situation, you know, she stabbed the man in the abdomen and all that. I mean, the domestic stuff. Then they find out later that he has a bipolar personality, diagnosed with that, so. You know, so I guess Miami, they had enough with all that, so they kind of clean their image up. You know, they don't want to go through having another situation with a guy having domestic dispute, you know, off the field, and they were dealing that with Brandon Marshall, which, like Mike said, they traded away, in which Brandon Marshall, we all know, is a much better receiver than Chad Johnson at this point. And also, you know, Philbin's a new coach, and they get, you know, this management, this is their, I think, second year together, so it's new ownership with this team, so they want a change.
Well, Chad, I mean, new ownership, but let's be honest. I mean, you hear about Stephen Ross. You know, this guy, you know, he want to be Jerry Jones. He Jerry Jones-like. You know, he can't get Prince Bandar in the building, so you go get Chad Johnson in the building.
Well.
He's just the guy that wants superstars all around his team. Attention.
Well. That coach is not going to be there long. I don't see him being there long term. He's just his personality.
They give him players there to work with. I mean, like I said, he's the offensive coordinator for Aaron Rodgers, so I have to get something. He was part of them winning the Super Bowl, being offensive coordinator. So and he was calling the play, so you got to get some credit.
Well, you know, like Jamal was saying, you know, the owner. He wants superstars. You know, a lot of times these coaches, they get in positions where they just don't match the city. You know, if you get, Belichick is the perfect coach for the Pats because he goes along with the blue collar mentality of New England. You know, but you know, you get a guy, you know, like Jimmy Johnson, he was a perfect Belichick at the time. You know, and a lot of times, you know. So I really don't know if this guy is going to be a good fit in Miami. You know, just because, you know, that, you know, being in a city like Miami, you know, you're going to want a little bit of flash. You know, especially, you know, when for a city as large as Miami, how many people they have, not really, you know, a sports friendly city. You know, they're barely filling, you know, their baseball stadiums. You know, the Heat. Just now won that NBA championship, and from what the owner was saying, they lost money during the season. You know, so you're gonna kind of want that kind of flash to be in a city like Miami. But you know, you don't want to let him do anything detrimental to the team, like a player like Ochocinco or Johnson. But you know, you're gonna have to have some type of superstar in that city. You're gonna have to know how to deal with that guy.
And speaking of Belichick, Mike, I was seeing a documentary about, Belichick on NFL Network. And, the time where, he's about to be, of course, we all know, the head coach of the Jets when Bill Parcells recommended him when he stepped down. But then, that day later, he decided to go back to New England. Bill Belichick, I guess he said he couldn't handle the limelight of New York. New York, like you said, slash, is New York City, 24 hours a day, 7 days, anything goes out there. And I guess New England, is nowhere near New York in that area where, different town, different place, where pretty much he could go in. It's all about football there, where he has, Rhode Island, all those small towns, where in New York, he could be easily distracted on a lot of stuff, where in New England it's not much distractions, where it was perfect for him.
I thought he got a career as a head coach flourish. You make a good point with that. Look at Pete Carroll. He was in New England before Belichick, and he didn't match that city. And New England was not a bad team underneath Carroll. He put a lot of those defensive players in the positions where they are before Belichick got there. But he really wasn't a match for that city. Carroll's a guy. He likes the limelight. I don't know how long he's gonna last in Seattle. There's a reason that he brought T.O. there. He likes the limelight. It's like I say. That's a good point you brought up, Mike. You really gotta see where these guys, where they fit in at. And sometimes they just don't fit in a certain situation. It's like all the coaches that the Raiders have had in the past. Their situation, whoever the coach is going to be, was going to have to be subservient to Al Davis. So none of those coaches, Lane Kiffin, he's pretty much, Pete Carroll 2.0. He's not going to be subservient, but you have to get a guy in there, who's going to listen, not talk back, Al isn't there anymore, so it's a different situation. But, the coach has to match the team, not the other way around.
Yes. Hey, Mike, how long do you think Pete Carroll is going to last in Seattle?
Honestly, I don't really agree with this Matt Flynn situation. I don't know what's going on there. I don't think they should have paid as much for him as they did. But take chances, try to get that quarterback. But he's a decent coach. He put most of those pieces in New England on that defense. He put them there. He's a good personnel guy. He's not an offensive mastermind. No, he never has been. He wasn't at USC. A lot of that was Steve Sarkisian, who's in, head coach right now. He's a defensive whiz. Which you might get that from Parcells. He's under him with Belichick in New York too. So you got to. I think, like I said, if they get the wins, they can. It's all about wins. But I don't think it's a match for that city. But he chose to go there. So We'll have to see.
Yeah, he went with the money. Allen, one of the richest men in the world for that. I think the only mistake that happened with him still right now until they get that quarterback position fixed, letting Matt Hasselbeck go. I think Matt Hasselbeck was their best quarterback, and now he's in Tennessee in his second year. So I think that move hurts. I think it's still hurting Seattle.
All right. Well, hold on. Let's move on here. We only got like 24 minutes left. I want to know, let's get into this quick thing on the latest news. Tim Tebow. What's your opinion on Tim Tebow? Why is he getting all this media coverage? Do you think he's going to beat out Mark Sanchez for the position? Text.
No.
That's a no to all three questions, basically.
No.
Do you think he can be a starting NFL quarterback?
No.
No.
All right, Mike.
Go ahead, Kelly. Mike.
Oh, is that me? Okay. Tim Tebow. He's a symbol right now. He's a figurehead. Things are really political right now. It's starting to itch in every facet of our society. And people for something, they want to still believe in good and in the old ways and. The swell guy and that's who, that's what Tebow represents, and it's like, and that's, people want to go back to Leave It to Beaver, even though they, things weren't as perfect as Leave It to Beaver time as they want to believe. And, that's what Tim Tebow represents. He's a G-golly kind of guy. And, the folks want him to succeed. He's not a bad guy. I don't know him personally, so I can't say how,
you know, sincere his motives are. But, you know, like I said, he comes off as an honest guy, but he's not an NFL quarterback. He never should have went in the first round to anybody. You know, he cost, I believe he cost that coach in Denver his job. And, you know, it's going to, you know, like I say, he's in New York now, high market city. So, I mean, this year it's going to be a big distraction, you know, for that whole team this year, in my opinion.
Plus, they was booing the heck out of Tim Tebow. His name, I think somewhere in New York they was booing that. I'm like, wow. And he definitely ain't showing no love right now on the fans. But it's just, you know, I mean, Sanchez, I think we all know it's a make-or-break year for him this year. If he don't excel and take it to that next level, then he probably going to be looking for, you know, another job or being on another team. But I just think Tebow, look, I mean, I know Chad Pendleton was there yesterday. I saw on ESPN where he was there and he was saying he'd be good for the Wildcat, which I think for those special gimmick plays, I think he'd be good, you know, for that, or, you know, or line him up back or have him as a receiver or something, doing some special plays. But being a full-time quarterback, nah, I just don't see it.
All that gimmick talk. I mean, what is that? Darren McFadden is good for a Wildcat, so what does that mean? Anybody who can run fast is good as a Wildcat quarterback. That means you run fast and you're going to get behind these big dudes and run. That doesn't mean it's not a quarterback position. That doesn't, you know, to me they're just saying that to try to keep, you know, well, yeah, you know, try to justify Tim Tebow being there. Well, like, it's good for the Wildcat and goal line formations. Just get a fullback and put him back there. Like, get your running back and put him back there. What does he need to be back there for?
Well, the thing is,
I guess with the Jets, with Woody Johnson and, of course, Rex Ryan, but I know Woody, I was hearing, he loves the limelight. He loves to take, you know, he loves exposure, being on, you know, TV, you know, having a media cover. So Johnson's been the New York Jets. They love that type of environment.
All right. Well, I think Tim Tebow is sort of like the Elvis Presley and the Eminem of quarterbacks. What I mean by that is it's a racial situation, in my opinion, a little bit. I think he's an NFL player. I think he's a good guy. I want him to succeed. But I think he's getting a lot of credit. You know, I think his style of play is no different than what a lot of other black quarterbacks have done in the past. But since he's not black, you know, he's being exhaled and praised for his style of play. You know, same with Elvis. He would sample black R&B, and then when he started doing it, it just blew up. Or Eminem covering black rappers, and then when he starts doing it, it's blowing up. Tim Tebow covering former black quarterbacks. When he does it, now it's blowing up. So I just think I kind of put him on the level of those two right there, in a sense of he's redefining the, he's not redefining the position, but he's bringing a different element to the position. He's opening doors for that style of play. Whereas other black quarterbacks who played like that in the past never had those opportunities to open those doors. That's my opinion on Tim Tebow. Do I think he could be a successful starting quarterback if he had the situation he had in Florida? If he had a dominant defense and a dominant running game. Well, he didn't really have a dominant running game, but, you know, he has to have a dominant running game in the NFL in order to do that. We're going to move topics here. Remember, you want to call in 347-237-5539. What I want to jump into is our conference predictions here, real quick, before we do our 2-minute segment where every person can speak for 2 minutes without being interrupted. First thing is conference predictions. NFC North. Who do you got? Tex.
Packers. Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers, best quarterback in the NFL. You guys have a program in place. I don't see any reason why they're going to slow down. The defense is improved. They added Nick Perry. They added Gerald Worthy. They will definitely get after the passer. They're going to rush the passer better than they did this past year. And as bad as they were, they still led the league in turnovers, still led the league in interceptions. So what does that mean? That means they have ball skills. I mean, they have the best ball skills in the league. Add that to an improved pass rush. You got an improved defense to finish in the top five. The year before, you got maybe the best offense in the NFL. You certainly have the best quarterback in the NFL. They got the North on lock. What's up?
All right, he said they certainly got the best quarterback in the NFL. What about Tom Brady? Wow.
Yeah, right. I was going to say that too, but I mean, hey.
Mike, who you got in the North?
You already know my North team, but I'm going to, you know.
Chicago Bears,
I
got
you. With Texas, with Texas fan. Aaron Rodgers, me and Mike had this conversation. You know, I talked about this, I think, about 2 years ago, comparing Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers right there being one and two. I say this about Aaron Rodgers. I think he's more mobile than Tom Brady. You know, of course, the ball throwing, I say he might be a better thrower. But I still say right now, I mean, I would still say Tom Brady's the best quarterback in the NFL.
Okay. Callie, who you got?
So with the Pack, I mean, you know, like Mike said, we talked about this before, but that was before Aaron Rodgers, you know, has done what he's been doing lately. I mean, it's, like I said, I like Tom Brady, but Tom Brady, he's been in the system, you know, for a long time. That system is tailor-groomed him, you know, and it's, you know, he's comfortable there. He knows the playbook. I'll say this. Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, will be able to go to the Patriots and succeed more than Tom Brady. Tom Brady could go to Green Bay. And that reason, that's one reason I think Aaron Rodgers is better than him, and I think the Packers are going to take that division.
All right. I got Chicago Bears, too. NFC South, who you got?
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Cali.
Ooh. I would say the Saints, but I think where is your hometown at right now, Cosell?
Tampa.
I'm going to have to go with the Yucks, man. I like their team. They got a young team. I think Josh Freeman is going to bounce back. You know, they got a lot of pieces in place. I got to see what they're going to do this year. I mean, they could potentially be explosive, you know. I got to see, you know. New Orleans, you know, I think New Orleans is, you know, I think if they do, New Orleans is, I think they're going to make the playoffs too. But, you know, they got a lot of controversy going on with that team. There's a lot of uncertainty right now. You know, guys, you know, you just now, you know, I don't know if the front office is doing all the right things. They waited this long to sign, you know, Mr. Breeze, and, you know, their coach isn't going to be there. So I got to, you know, right now I got to go, you know, what I think is a little bit more solid in Tampa.
As long as you got Drew Breeze there, they'd be fine, though. As long as you got Drew Breeze, and he got his contract, so I'll take care of that,
I got Atlanta. Julio Jones going to emerge as a top five receiver this year. I'm going to leave
top
it at
five
that.
Receiver.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Are you talking about top five receiver on the
Falcons team? Julio Jones, book it.
Are you talking about top five receiver on the Atlanta Falcons team?
Oh, he already is the top two. But all right, that's another story. We got to move on here. NFC East, who you got?
NFC East, I'm going with the Eagles. The Eagles and Vic. The Eagles, you know what I'm saying, done some things. I think they're going to be right there in the division. But I think the team that can definitely push them, they get their act together, because they got some still talent. I'm going to say the Cowboys can push the Eagles, but I like the Eagles.
Okay.
I'm going with the Giants, too.
I'm going to have to go with the Philadelphia Eagles. If they can stay healthy, I'll say that. Philadelphia Eagles.
All right, NFC West, who you got?
49ers.
That's gonna be a pretty easy one for me. That'd be the San Francisco 49ers. They got an explosive offense coming back. I believe they added a wide receiver by the name of Moss. I think he's pretty good. We're gonna see what they can do next year. We're gonna get out there and play some ball. You know, Alex Smith, he's finally, you know, getting settled in with offensive coordinator. So, you know, Niners are gonna show some things.
Niners in that division.
Too. All right.
But I say this. The team is to watch out for. I think they're gonna make some improvement. Hey, who knows? They might. I'm not gonna say they're gonna do okay with the Niners there, but they could be a team that could be fighting for that wild card in that division. Watch out for the St. Louis Rams. Jeff Fisher. They got a quarterback and a running back.
Okay. All right.
And
I got
a nice defense too.
They might be the worst team in the NFL this year.
All You got that right. Hey, okay, walk up.
St. Louis Rams might be the worst team in the NFL this year.
Yes, they will. Hey, wild card, real quick. Two wild cards, NFC. Just
Saints.
Two names. Huh?
Saints
and who?
Saints, Lions.
Saints and Lions. Okay, that was Tex?
That was Mike.
Oh, Tex.
That was Cali Mike.
Tex. You there? Tex. Oh, we got an issue there. Shottown, who you got?
Wild card. Lions, nah. The wild card, I'm going to say Packers. And the next team, going to be out of the NFC South. The Giants. Packers and Giants, wild cards.
Okay. I got Green Bay and a surprise pick, the Carolina Panthers, is my wild card. All right.
Wow.
you've been drinking what Matt Taylor's been drinking?
Oh, hey, I think Cam Newton's going to be better than he was last year. You know they're talking about Tebow, so you know Cam Newton's working. All right, what we want to do now is in our segment here, we're going to take calls in the last few minutes, but what we want to do in our segment here is everybody gets a minute and 30 seconds to say what they need to say without being interrupted, okay? So, Shottown Mike, we're going to start with you, okay? So talk for a minute, 30 seconds. You can talk about college pros. State your opinion. Nobody's going to interrupt you. Go ahead.
All righty then now. I guess we see that little moment we see on Fox NFL Sunday where, you know, the analysts have they speak. Just want to talk about stuff that's going on, NFL. I mean, I just think I still kind of don't like what direction the NFL was going. You know, some players were saying about, you know, I know Commissioner Roger Goodell has been meeting at some training camps and visiting teams and stuff. I think it's going to have to be some changes where he lays down a law. And being a person who makes that final decision, I think they need to restructure that because I think there's too much power. I mean, he decides everything, man. Come on. They need to have some more people to make those type of decisions on disciplinary action just than that. And I just, you know, until they get that fixed, I still don't think things are going to be right. Players, and I already know players really are not too kind of liking of Roger Goodell. You know, we already heard players speaking out about him. Of course, one player who, you know, has been popular, you know, beloved and right now in Drew Brees, been saying about, you know, things where Goodell, not really, can you trust the guy, you know, all this other type of stuff. But I've been saying this, too, the past, you know, several years, even since he's been commissioner, I don't like how he's trying to make NFL a global sport where he's saying he wants the NFL to be an Olympics. How the heck the NFL is going to be an Olympics? NFL football is America's sport. It's America's sport. Those other countries and island people, they play soccer. They don't play football. Football is our sport. And they talk about Super Bowl being in Mexico or foreign places. No, Super Bowl is in America. That brings billions to America. It is a
right.
State in America.
I got to cut you off, Mike. Appreciate the comments. Okay, Big Tex.
Let's see. Strongest conference, SEC, Heisman Trophy, Matt Barkley, bounce back team, Florida. That's for NCAA. In the NFL, Packers versus Patriots, Super Bowl, MVP Drew Brees. Offensive player of the year, Tom Brady. Defensive player of the year, Ray Lewis. Defensive rookie of the year, Andrew Luck. Luke Kuechly. Comeback player of the year, Chris Johnson. That's all I got. See you next week.
All right, Cali, Mike, what you got?
I'm going to touch on what you left off on, Clavel. Cam Newton. I like Cam Newton. I cannot see him getting any better than he did last season. I can see him getting better. I don't see him putting up those numbers, though. Let me say that. 4,000 yards is a lot of yards. I don't see that guy doing it. I think those numbers of quarterbacks in general are going to go down this year. I think last year was an anomaly. I don't think that's going to happen again. I think that a lot more teams are going to be keyed in on that, and I think we're going to see those numbers go down. At 4-4, every, you know, I think we had five quarterbacks over 4,000 yards last year. I can't I can't imagine that happening again. I can see the NFL is going to stay a quarterback-centered league, but I think it's going to we're going to have to start seeing more running backs become more prominent in the game, either by not necessarily feature back, maybe more running back by committee. We really didn't touch on the AFC. I think we're going to do that later, or next time. But, my goodness, Andrew Luck, preseason game. That boy looks scary, man. If he can do that on a consistent basis, I know it's preseason, but wow.
Okay. All right. Well, let me just say my few things. First of all, particularly with Tex and Mike from Cali, man, I'm just so disappointed about the disrespect you guys have towards Alabama football. I mean, they should be at least in contention for the national championship. There's no question they're going to be up for the national championship. They're going to be better than Florida, they're going to be a lot better than Florida on defense. Okay, I got Florida's going to be better, but Alabama is still going to be a dynamic team this year, at least top three, maybe national champions again. I would not be surprised. Also, I think with Cam Newton, I think he's going to even be more motivated because you don't hear that much about from Cam Newton in the offseason. You haven't heard nothing from Cam Newton in the offseason. You've been hearing Tebow, 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 Tebow. And you know that's probably going to enrage him because of the fact that they were roommates, or not necessarily roommates, they were teammates competing against each other against the University of Florida. And he's like, he just won Rookie of the Year and they're still talking about Tebow? I mean, come on. So I got Cam Newton as my MVP, NFL MVP for this upcoming year. That's all I have to say right there. Okay. I guess we can go over some other predictions. We'll go over AFC next year. What about NFC? What about Defensive Player of the Year? Who do you have?
I got Ray Lewis.
I am going to have to go with the first-year player out of Denver who surprised everyone. Well, he didn't surprise me. I had him winning the, Defensive Rookie of the Year. That's going to be Von Miller. I think he's going to be back, and I think he's going to be better. This guy is a beast, and I can't wait to see what he's going to do this year.
Man, Clausel, with this saying this now, even though I got some guys, but a guy that's kind of got me thinking and being motivated, you know, kind of talking a little trash a little, I'm going to probably have to say Clay Matthews.
Okay.
Damn, Packer.
Well, hey, you know what? I got one for you. Jason Pierre-Paul. That's who I got right there. Defensive Player of the Year. Watch out. Okay. Rookie of the Year. Who you got?
Offensive or defensive?
We're going offensive.
Andrew Luck. I think the Colts will surprise people. They won't be as bad as everybody thinks.
Really? Okay.
Mike. Hey, they still got Callie. The right premium Mathis.
Callie, who you got?
Like I said, I got to go with Andrew Luck, too, man. That dude, he's good. He's good. Like I said, if that preseason game was any sign I know it's a preseason, this guy's going to be scary good.
The thing is, when you're looking at something on television, when you see talent, regardless of if it's the preseason or the regular season, when you see some talent, you know, you open your eyes. Why do you open your eyes? Because it just jumps off the screen at you. I mean, if you're looking at American Idol when they're doing the auditions, how long does it take for you to see if that person can sing? You understand what I'm saying? You see Andrew Luck on TV, it jumps out at you.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to go
Andrew Luck also. Okay, real quick.
I forgot, guys. I was gonna do a little something different, but I want to say Andrew Luck, but I wouldn't be surprised if they have two co-rookie offensive rookie of the years. How about RG3? Mike Shanahan, the offensive, you know, guru with the quarterbacks, he's coaching along, you know, Joe Montana, Steve Young, and, of course, John Elway. So he's been around the block quite a few times. So it's going to be interesting to see. And also, Mike Shanahan, his job to me is on the line. If they don't show some improvement, he's going to be out of there.
All right, one-liner. I got 60 seconds left. Comeback player of the year, who you got?
Chris Johnson.
Mike Kelly. Real
quick. Jamal Charles. Jamal Charles.
Okay. Shy, who you got?
I probably have to go with Sam Bradford.
Wow. All right. I got Josh Freeman. Okay. All right. We'd like to thank everybody for watching CMT Firestorm. You can look back on Block Talk Radio at our show. Give us any critiques. Give us any feedback. We will be here next week, 8:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. Eastern. Mm-hmm. Make sure you listen to us. Peace out.
Peace, y'all.
See ya.
I go get these bottles, we go alcohol and things. Calling all the girls, do you hear me? All around the world, city to city. Cheers to the girls, or juice to the guys. Now I got a chicken and a goose and a rag, getting loose in a rap. Hey, Nas, nigga, you can move to the move to the move to the side.
Bottoms up, hey, let's see your cup. Got a couple bottles, but a couple ain't enough.
Rum, Trey. I was like, yo, Trey, do you think you could buy me a bottle of rosé? Okay, let's get it now. I'm with a bad bitch, he's his friend. I don't say hi, I say key to the bin. Key to the bin, key to the bin. Motherfucking right, yeah, B to the 10. If a bitch try to get cute, I'm a snuffer. Double out of money, and I done y'all fucker. Fucker, fucker, then y'all fucker. Then I'ma go and get my Louis the fucker. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm really such a lady. I've got young money, you know Slim, baby. And we be doing donuts while we racing, must be 80. We give a lot of money to the babies out in Haiti. Yelling all around the world, do you hear me? Do you like my body? Anna Nikki. Rest in peace to Anna Nicole Smith. Yes, my dear, you're so explosive. Say hi to Mary, Mary, and Joseph. Now bottoms up and double my dog.
Bottoms up, bottoms up.